What's up, Noel Nation? We are coming live to you with our instant reaction as day one of the early signing period is starting to wrap up. Things have pretty much winded down. We kind of wanted to wait till later in the afternoon to kind of see if any late news broke. Obviously, there was a big announcement at 5 o'clock that, you know, Michael, death, taxes, and Mike Norvell losing a five-star recruit on signing day. It is the tradition that has become in Tallahassee, but you know, man, we're going to get into a lot of aspects with this class, some positives, some, you know, the negative, obviously, there with what we just talked about. We got some other news to talk about as well. So thank you guys so much for joining us. You know, Michael, I will say, like, just my general overall thoughts, man. You know, we talked about this on our last show where we had said, man, coming into this signing day, you should expect at this point, the way the recruiting class has gone over the past few weeks, you know, you should basically expect no recruits because we had seemed like we had pretty much about lost everybody. And so I feel like at the conclusion of the first day, because there could be more to come in this class, I feel pretty positive, man. I feel pretty juiced. Like, I'm happier now than I expected to be. Obviously, it would have been nice if you could have got Solomon in the fold there. But again, when you talk about this class, we still haven't heard the announcement of our offensive line coach. Right. Now, even the defensive coordinator, we pretty much know. The D-line coach, we pretty much know. We'll talk about that here in just a minute. Those have been announced, but not officially by the school yet. But we know that they're coming. We know that they're out working. We don't know who the offensive line coach is yet. Right. And so that one is not surprising. But overall, man, share some thoughts on this class. Like I said, I think going into it, I didn't expect a whole lot. Coming out of it, I feel a lot better than I thought I would, which is rare to say Florida State on signing day.
No, for sure. I mean, you know, like I was telling you kind of before we came on live, it's like, you know, as a kid growing up in the college and, you know, most of my adult life, maybe up until about 5 or 6 years ago, dude, I was all into recruiting. I was following these players all year, reading everything I could on every prospect we were after, following them. You know, every time I'd see their Twitter, I'd say something to them about, like, I'd tweet at those prospects, come to Florida State, all like that stuff. And then about, you know, 5 or 6 years, I think when the transfer portal opened up and, you know, just kids just, you know, flipping left and right. This is before the flip phenomena of Florida State losing its top ranked recruit every year. I just kind of started losing interest. And then, of course, you know, we have the Travis Hunter throwing the hat. We got KJ Bolden. We got the dude that went to Auburn flipping. And so it just kind of became this thing of like, you know, there, I'm not going to waste the energy of caring and being all upset when it's not a game, when this is the era of college football we're in. So to me, I'm actually pleased with the outcome of today. I mean, there were some flips in here that Florida State was not projected at the time to get. And so for us to start the early signing period with some of the guys that we've gotten, like, man, that's like, okay, Mike, this is a two-win team and they're still getting blue chip players. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, I still think it's going to be a small class, but it's going to be a nice class. You're still in it for a few more guys. Mike Norvell did say that he expects there to be some more letters coming across. Yeah. Also, maybe some more players joining the class over the next, because this does run through the sixth. So you got two more days here. But I will say, man, like, even this class is going to be small. It's a nice class. Like, you hit some needs. You got some really nice pieces. You held on to some that were being heavily pursued by other programs. Right. You know, and then you also have, like, the portal has been wild here so far. Right. Like, we're not going to get into that in this episode. But, man, there have been some big names popping into this portal. Offensive line, quarterbacks. So there's going to be a lot of – the shopping list is long, right? So I think they're going to work hard to fill the cart up. But anytime you come into this, you know, I believe they were around 53rd, 54th to come into the day.
Yep.
I'm looking at 247 Composites updated ranking right now after the Solomon Thomas news, and they're sitting at 27th. So, I mean, you climbed at least 15 spots in the class.
That's right.
And so I think that's pretty good for, you know, what we expected to be. So let's talk about the class here a little bit, Michael, getting into some of these. Obviously, let's just kind of get the bad news out of the way. So right now you are sitting at 17 commits. You have 15 of them signed. Two of those are hard commits, but not signed their letter yet. We will elaborate more on that in a second. But at the same time, let's just pop the negative bubble and get it over with. As expected, Solomon Thomas does flip to LSU. You know, we at least it's better in Florida because right. I will say that because that's where we had, you know, he had been crystal balled there by a 247 reporter there to go to Florida. And so you don't want him to go to your direct rival. It's unfortunate that he goes to LSU, but, you know, you look at LSU, they've had a bad season. They probably really wanted to make a splash on the recruiting trail. They have a good offensive line coach there. And on top of that, like we said, he doesn't even know who his offensive line coach is right. yet. You know, and right. he said in interviews that, like, he wasn't really concerned with Gus Malzahn being the OC hire. It's more who's his position coach. So,
right.
you know, whether it be the on the back of the bad season, not knowing who your coach is, or an NIL play. Either That's way, right. you lose Solomon Thomas, and, you know, it sucks, man, because you lose your top one again. This is one that you really, really wanted to keep in the class because he was going to be a cornerstone type of commitment on the offensive line. But we'll just kind of get it out of the way and talk about it because I don't want to focus on who we don't have, right? This right. is a day to celebrate the other 17 kids that decided to say yes to FSU. But, of course, you kind of get that punch in the gut. That was expected, again, there around 5 o'clock. So Solomon Thomas flips to LSU.
Yeah, like you said, it was expected. I mean, the moment you – well, let me go back to this because I've been seeing on Twitter people, you know, raking Mike over the coals for this. And the thing is – This was already starting to it was trending Florida's way before you fired Alex Atkins. It was yeah. already trending that way. Wilt Fong had a Wilt Bong or whatever he's calling it, and it was already projecting to go to Florida because of the way the season was going. Then you fire Alex Atkins, and he, you know, he comes out and he says, "Look, I'm going to be patient. I'm going to see what they do." But then it was already well on trending that way. Now I think the bigger upset is where Florida should feel. I literally saw tweets where they thought they had him in the. There's one guy who has like 3,000 followers on Twitter. He's like a Florida recruiting person, and he was already counting Solomon in the class as of 4 hours ago. And then he hasn't said a word since the flip. So I think Florida fans are the ones that are more upset than FSU fans should be because, again, it was already projected. Yes, this is your highest ranked recruit again, leaving for another thing, but. Like I said, I think this one's a little bit different. I'm not saying you can't blame Norvell because, you know, the 2-10 season is what set this up. But I also think this one was months in the making that was yeah. going to happen. And so, you know what? Hey, like Mike Norvell said about him, he's a great kid. You know what? He's going to go to Florida. And, you know, next year they'll fire Billy and he'll be right back at Florida State. So.
But, you know, hey, now that he's going to LSU, they might fire Brian Kelly, and he might That's be back right. with us anyway.
That's so, right. That's what I meant to say. Yes.
Door number one or door number three always leads you back to door number two. So either right. way, he was leaving, right. but he was coming back. So, yeah, man. And before we get into the actual class, I think we need to touch on one thing that's going to make sense about the first recruit that we talk about. And that is, of course, it's still a rumor, right? It's still a rumor that Tony White and Terrence Knighton have been hired as the defensive coordinator and the defensive line coach. It's still not been released by the school. Now, with that being said, Tony White has changed his Twitter or X bio already to show that he's the DC at Florida State. We just haven't seen an official announcement yet. Mike Norvell said in his post-game press conference that he was going to push the coach talk back because he didn't want to distract talking about the kids that joined the class today with coaching news. But it has been reported by a Nebraska beat writer that he said his goodbye to the program. It's been reported across all of their channels that basically he's coming to Florida State. And so that is the one thing that has been great news because, I mean, again, this is a guy that you feel like can come in and make an impact in recruiting. I think Odell still did a lot to get Kevin Wynn in this class, yeah. which is the first yeah. recruit that we're going to talk about. But, you know, obviously I'm sure if they knew he was going to be the coach there, then, you know, you probably hand that baton off. Yeah. To him as well. But, man, I'm excited about getting Tony White in here. I'm also excited about getting Pot Roast in here as a defensive line coach.
Yeah,
man,
I think
just having some youth on that defensive line. But, yeah, man, I just wanted to touch on those because it seems that those are pretty much official since the last time we talked without being full-on official. But because I was – you know, there was a little bit of nervousness there with Knighton because he was right. at practice yesterday and he was still, you know, around the program. So I was worried we weren't going to get him. So any thoughts on those two before we jump into the actual commitment class?
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I think it's great. Now, Norvell did say today that he thought they made a home run hire in their coordinators. So he said that. And I think that was basically him unofficially telling us that, White is in as D coordinator. But yes, we're still waiting on Florida State to officially announce it. Of course, also, Tony White has already changed his Twitter stuff. And then Knightley said goodbye to Nebraska. A bunch of Florida State beat writers, Florida State admin, Florida State people are already following Knightley as well. So we can all assume that that's coming. And I'm really excited. I mean, when you get a coach that's called Pot Roast to come to your program, where other NFL players are literally tweeting saying, oh, dude, this is big time. Where Nebraska people, I mean, I know it's Nebraska, but they're freaking out like the program's going to fall apart. And there are a lot of, a lot of Nebraska D-line players who just entered the portal literally as it started. Yeah. And I think I've already seen three crystal balls for three of those players to Florida State already. So I'm just saying, like, and that was one of the best D-lines in the country. So if they come to Florida State, man, Mike is cooking. That's all I got to say about that.
Yeah. And I mean, again, like you said many a times, it's not necessarily about who you are. It is, but it's also about who you can bring. And
who
so
you bring with you.
Bring That's them right. on. Bring them all. So, yeah, excited about those. Hopefully they'll be announced soon. Obviously, we want to send our, you know, well wishes and just thank you to Odell for a great career.
Yes.
As, you know, this will be the first time in my lifetime, pretty much just about, that we've had a different defensive line coach.
Isn't that wild?
You know, that's crazy. But, you know, hopefully he'll find a place. I'm sure he's going to find a place around the program.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's still going to be yelling at people throughout the week and helping coach on Saturdays. I guarantee that. So, with that being said, let's get into this class. First up, big keep for Florida State. This is one that you really, you know, we were on the fence that we were going to lose here. And that is Kevin Wynn, four-star defensive tackle out of Greensboro, Georgia, 6'2", 320. Comes in as a national top 100 player in the 247 composite, number 14 defensive lineman, and number 13 player out of Georgia. Michael, this is a huge get because he was being heavily pursued. And that's what Mike Norvell even talked about, that this was a battle to the end when you have the teams that were going after him, some really big names. I think Texas was one of them that was going after him. South Carolina had a really good season, and they were going for him too. You know, he's got heavy hands. He's got good athleticism. He's you know, got good athleticism for his size and the way he fires off the ball. You know, he's just productive, man. And that's what I like. And he's got great physical tools. They project him to have an NFL draft type of player ceiling. Now, where I think it's going to be exciting with getting Kevin Wynn, and I'm sure this may have been a conversation that was had on the phone sometime, is like, man, at 335 that you're bringing to Tallahassee, this, you could not pick a better nose tackle than a guy with his size, his body build, his body type. And you're going to have a guy, Pot Roast, who had a very similar body type, played defensive tackle in the NFL, played nose tackle some in the NFL, to come in and mentor this young man. So, man, massive, I don't even want to say get, massive hold for Florida State to land Kevin Wynn in this class. Because, I will say with losing Solomon Thomas, this is kind of your bell cow now.
Right. Absolutely agree. I mean, kudos to Mike and that staff, and big shout out to Odell. Be able to hold on to this guy because he was one of the ones immediately projected to flip midway through the season. And I think it was Florida that was trying to get him, and everybody was basically calling it done. I mean, I had believed that he was gone. And so when my alert came across that he had signed with Florida State, I was in a meeting and I was like, oh, okay, for sure.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's great. And yeah, he is definitely the prototypical player that you're looking at the 335, but also he has the body size to be multiple. And I think that's what, you know, Tony White brings to the table is that, yes, he loves that 335. We talked about this in a previous episode. I encourage you to go on YouTube and watch it. It's a great episode where we talk about kind of break down the coordinators in their offense and defense. But I think, he's a good prototype for the 335, but he's also got the body size to be good enough to be multiple if Tony White wants to do multiple things with that defense.
Yeah, man. I mean, again, like you're just looking for, we talked about this, like to get where you want to be as a program, you really need those blue chip level trench players. It's the trench players. That is what we are looking for here. And so to get one being there, you know, a blue chip guy, we haven't signed a lot of these. So, you know, that's one where it's like, we really needed to get this one. If you would have lost him, you wouldn't have had any defensive tackles in there in the class. So it would have you know, that would have been a real heartbreaker there. But man, whatever the combination of Odell and Pot Roast being able to combine to get this kid, man, again, that was huge because you needed him in this class. So coming up next, what we're going to talk about here is the quarterback in your class. And that is Kevin Sperry, 6'1", 200 pounds, four-star coming out of Geyer High School in Denton, Texas. You know, he was a late addition to the class. Now, he said that he was on campus the last Florida State game in 2023, I believe it was, or 2022. And then he was here again last weekend for that Florida State game. Obviously, didn't go the way he wanted, but he saw what he needed to see. He committed to us. Again, there's also the unknown about, is this going to mean Kevin Johns is coming? We haven't really heard any more smoke about that. You know, you look at the kid and look, you had to get a quarterback in the class because you lost Trammell Jones Jr., but you still have the Smiegel kid committed for 2026, who is a top five quarterback in the 26 class. So regardless of what your feelings are about Sperry, Smiegel's, you know, he's a really good quarterback coming if you can hang on to him.
Yeah.
Now, 265 nationally, so top 300 player here in the 247 composite, number 25 quarterback in the class. He's a little bit lower than Trammell was, but, you know, overall, man, look, he said yes to a program at a tough time that was having quarterback issues. So I like the take, and I'll say this, man, really productive kid his senior year. Threw for 2,210 yards, 23 touchdowns. Also added 981 rushing yards and six scores as a senior. Was very productive as a junior as well. Had more passing yards, a few less rushing yards there. But, man, I'll tell you one thing about this guy, Michael. When I watch him, when I see him, the way he looks, the way he plays, man, he gives me Baker Mayfield vibes. And that may be just me, man, but, like, you know, a kid who was, I think, originally from Texas and was committed to Oklahoma. And of course, now he's at Florida State.
Yeah.
Kind of that smaller, thicker build with a real mobile ability.
Yeah.
Man, if it does turn out to be like that, and there's no guarantee that it will, I'll take it.
Yeah. No, for sure. Listen, like, you know, unless you're Alabama, Texas, Georgia, Oregon, and maybe even Oklahoma right now, you're not signing these five-star quarterbacks right now. That group of school has a claw hold on five-star quarterbacks. And so now, obviously, you know, Florida State is, you know, they have Smiegel committed for next year. And so we'll see what that turns out. But while that's happening, like, it's just kind of been this thing. And so as you're evaluating quarterbacks, you're just trying to figure out, like, you know, can this guy play at this level? Obviously, Mike Norvell gives you know, Mike's going to sign off on a quarterback or not going to sign off on a quarterback if it's not good enough. So obviously, Mike feels like he has the talent. He has the skill set to be able to play at this level. And then we'll see. You know, the thing I question with any of these quarterbacks is that, you know, since Mike Norvell has been here, he's not had a great track record outside of Jordan Travis of developing quarterbacks. So, you know, I mean, now we got further proof again. You look at Brock Glenn this season, right? And so you're looking at another person. So I put little stock into these quarterbacks until I see them, you know, year two, year three, and what they're doing. But this is a guy who said yes, like you said, Jesse. So he's in the fold and see what he can do.
Yeah, no, I'm with you there, man. You got to see one of these quarterbacks eventually pan out at Florida State. And I believe they're going to go after a portal quarterback this year too, especially given that you're changing offense with, you know, with Gus there. And then you're also, not only you're changing the offense where you'd like a mobile quarterback, but there's been a lot of really good ones in the portal. Right. So that may be something that you want to look at too. So yeah, I mean, you're still waiting to see it, but like you said, you got the more bodies you can throw at it, the better. Right.
And
so that's what you want. Now, the next commit we're going to talk about here is Mario Nash Jr., four-star offensive line, 6'4", 280, coming out of Kemper County, DeKalb, Mississippi. You know, Mississippi kids can be kind of hard to pull and hold on to. And there for a while, I didn't think that was going to happen. I didn't think we were going to be able to hold on to him. And so you do end up pulling him. Obviously, when you look at the 280 there, you're thinking you're probably going to need a little bit of development, right?
Yeah,
that's someone who's probably may not be quite ready yet, but still number 303 nationally in the 247 composite, number 18 interior offensive line, number 12 player out of Mississippi. I like the body type here. He's also competes in track and field with the throwing the discus and the shot put. And so, I mean, I like to see that too, because obviously, you know, that's strength, functional strength in different ways. And so, you know, again, just like we talked about with the quarterbacks, with the offensive line, you got to throw bodies at it, man. And
right.
I mean, you already lost Solomon Thomas. So getting a 4-star blue chip, this is big. And so whoever the new offensive line coach comes in, you got some good clay to work with.
That's right. Yeah. I mean, listen, be able to keep him on the fold, that gives that new offensive line an opportunity to work with him and to see kind of what he can develop into. And again, a lot of these offensive linemen coming in as freshmen, most of them probably will not be at the stage where you can play them. And so this is really going to be more about the transfer portal for next year and getting these offensive linemen in, hopefully with a brand new coach. Maybe we'll see a better trajectory of development for these offensive linemen that we haven't seen. Again, one of the biggest complaints about Alex Atkins is he could recruit, but none of those guys really developed. And then the guys that he brought in from the portal de-developed, if that's a word. They regressed in their development. So hopefully these guys that we're bringing in, depending on who that offensive line coach is, there's speculation that it could be, you know, a couple different guys that could do that. And hopefully they'll do better to be able to develop these guys.
Yeah, Herb, if you're listening to this, dude, do you not want to climb? Come on and climb with us, bro. What are you waiting on?
Let's go.
Exactly. Yeah, no, but I agree, man. It's a good get for Florida State because you need bodies. And you know, you're going to load up in the portal, but you need some young developmental talent. And you're hopefully, like you said, man, hopefully the new coaches you get in can actually develop these guys. Right. That would be nice. So the next one that we're going to talk about here, man, this was destiny, right? This was meant to be. And that is Greg Zay Thomas, 4-star defensive back, plays at American Heritage High School, which is Patrick Surtain's old stomping grounds. He was the head coach there before going to the Dolphins and ending up at FSU out of Fort Lauderdale, Florida. For those of you that do not know, now, first off, let's say I like the size here, 6'2", 190. You got some length at DB here. That's something that Mike Norvell talked about. Number 368 nationally, number 35 cornerback, and number 52 in the state of Florida. 247 themselves actually have him as a top 300 player, pushing 200 at 206. But I use the composite more than anything here. But again, he's a bigger guy, kind of a different body type than you typically expect. He also, you know, to be able to start at American Heritage that's an institution in South Florida. So I like that too. He's got a lot of strength, so he can jam well, and he can play zone and man. So I like both of those as well. But the thing that I was talking about is that most people maybe don't know is he's actually a member of the Seminole Tribe of Florida. Right. And so there have been other members of the Seminole Tribe to make the Florida State team, but none of them have actually started a game. And so I think Zay Thomas has a good opportunity to do that. But yeah, man, this is a unique get and a good get for Florida State in that DB class with Patrick Surtain doing his thing again, man.
Pat Surtain, I mean, gosh, that man, since he's been here, we've seen better play at defensive back, and we've seen the recruiting level of DBs get much better to where, I mean, now you got players out there on Twitter calling FSU DBU again. And in the words of famous of Jalen Ramsey, if you ain't going to Florida State, what is you doing, right? I love this pick. One of my favorite things about this recruit is that for his announcements, he literally lit up the Hard Rock building with the Florida State emblem.
Oh yeah, I forgot about that.
So that kid, he's got my vote of confidence. He's gonna do. If you're brave enough to get the Hard Rock hotel to light it up, the Seminole logo in the heart of Miami, yeah, you a tough one.
I love it, man. Yeah, going down into enemy territory and just letting them know already, I already like this guy. So the next one we're going to talk about here is someone that felt like you were going to lose late. And that is someone that, you know, you got to give Chris Thompson his flowers, man, as much as we want to see basically everybody in the staff replace. He's gotten some good recruits here recently. And so that obviously lets you guys know that the next one we're going to talk about here is Chase Lofton, tight end out of Nebraska. The one thing I will say, Michael, that stands out about this class that we're going to get into with a couple of other guys here, including Chase Lofton, is the size. And that is something that Mike Norvell said they wanted to infuse this program with some length. And so that's what they were able to accomplish here. You know, we'll get to the other guys later, but you have a 6'6" tight end coming in, a 6'7" receiver coming in, and a 6'5" receiver coming in. So lots of length here added. But, you know, Nebraska pushed hard for Chase late. And so it was nice to see them be able to fight them off. Well, you just took most of their coaches, so now you took their recruit too. But from a 247 composite, number 371 nationally, number 20 tight end, and the number 2 player in Nebraska. Very productive this last season, 57 passes, 837 yards, 12 touchdowns. You can tell, Michael, that he's one of those guys where he is just basically the best player in the town, right?
Yes.
In the municipality.
Municipality.
Because he does everything for them, basically. Not only did he play tight end, but he also punted for them, and he kicked for them as well. So, wow. That's pretty interesting there, but very productive tight end. Like I said, you know, he put up 57 passes, 837 yards, and 12 touchdowns, so productive. I guess if you ever need, like, a backup kicker or something, maybe he's serviceable there. But, yeah, man, I love the length at tight end, 6'6", number 2 player in Nebraska, Chase Lofton. Keep him in the class, and I think it's a good get for Florida State.
You know, I remember when he recruited, okay? I remember when he recruited, he said, and if I remember correctly, he said, you know, I'm not done yet. I'm still recruiting for Florida State. I'm going to get them some good people, okay? I wonder if he meant coaches. I wonder if he was a big part of recruiting Tony White and Terrence Knighton to come to Florida State. Because, you know, I mean, this dude's from Nebraska. There ain't nothing much out there. He's coming to the state of Florida. Yeah, you got to give credit to Chris Thompson to get this recruit. It's interesting, though, to bring him in with Landon Thomas and Amari Williams, who, by the way, Mike Norvell said today in his press conference that they're going to try to use Amari at the DN position. So I'm curious to see what that's going to look like. But, like, you know, you got a strong – I mean, this just adds to what was already a really strong tight end room. And so I'm curious to see how this how his body kind of morphs as he gets to the college level and gets into that strength and condition program. But, man, this guy's got great hands, and I think he could be a weapon for Florida State.
Yeah, at 215, I'd like to see him put on a good 20, 30 pounds, right? You'd like to see him get close to that 250. That's about where Morlock is. Now, you hope he has better hands.
That's right.
But I will say the one thing about Landon Thomas is he actually came in as an edge player. That's what he committed as.
That's right.
I think it was more he was used in that position in a jam because they had a tight end that couldn't catch. And so they had to put some – or not Landon Thomas.
I was like, Amari Williams. About Amari Williams.
Not Landon Thomas. Amari Williams. He came in as an edge player. So maybe they're planning on moving him back to that position. But you also loaded up on some defensive linemen. So I think you could probably let him go both ways as much as you can. But, yeah, I mean, you got three really good young tight ends in this room now. And with Jackson West moving on, hopefully Kyle Morlock, you know, he should be moving on as well. That you're going to need these guys to step up next year because this is who you got. And I don't know if they're going to be looking at a tight end or not in the room or from the portal or not. But, you know, we're just going to run through a quick comments because we are live real quick. Just want to say what's up to everybody. Thank you for joining us as we're about halfway through the class here. Appreciate you guys tuning in. Make sure if you guys are trying to, you know, we're all back excited, right? You know, we're back excited about the Noles. Make sure you go get some awesome FSU gear from today's sponsor, Alumni Hall FSU, because, Michael, they've been committed since day one. They did not waver. They did not flip.
That's right.
So make sure you check those guys out, 1415 Timberlane Road in Tallahassee, or online at alumnihall.com. Navigate over to the FSU page and use code SPEAR to save 10%. Now, Jay Talla here asked, why has there been no announcement on the O-line coach hire yet? I don't know yet. I don't know yet. I'm hoping that it's coming soon. UCF could be trying to retain him because he is a very good offensive line coach. You know, I actually saw a report today that they're looking at Scott Frost. Rekindling old lovers, I guess.
Oh, let me do you one better. They report came out today that they reached out to Lincoln Riley. You're going to get Lincoln Riley out of USC?
Right, and I reached out to Holly Berry, but but Jay Talley also follows up here and says, you can guess I didn't hear back. All considering, it's been a great day for FSU recruiting. I agree, man. I think it was a pretty good day for recruiting. Obviously, if you could have got Solomon, that would have been the cherry on top, right?
Yeah,
but
exactly.
It is what it is. And so going further down this list, here's a surprise that you got. And look, guys, I'm married, so let's. Sorry, Holly Berry, I'm taken. Get over it. But yeah, no, I do agree with the Lincoln Riley. Like, that's crazy, man. I guess shoot your shot, but you know.
You're right. I mean, the worst thing you can do is say no, but I mean, you really shot your shot.
Right. They got 15 minutes of Twitter time. So
that's like Boise State trying to not Boise. I shouldn't use them. They're really good. That's like FIU saying, you know what? We're going to go ask Nick Saban to come be our coach.
Exactly. Exactly. And so the next one that you get here, moving on down the line with the class, one that we didn't exactly see coming. That was a nice flip here. Now, this is a guy that you have been involved with before, and that is four-star defensive back Shamar Arnaud. You were in it with him a while back. You were one of the ones that were one of his final schools. Then, unfortunately, he commits to Auburn, but 6'2", 175 out of Carrollton, Georgia. This is another guy that comes in as a four-star in the 247 composite, 383rd nationally, number 37 cornerback, number 53 player out of Georgia. I think he's actually originally from Fort Lauderdale. Another track and field multi-sport guy. And, you know, again, man, four-star DB. And I did see that he had tweeted out that, like, Patrick Surtain was influential in this flip because, obviously, DBU and all those things. So, yeah, man, this is – I mean, it was one – again, anytime you're flipping a four-star player from an SEC program – you know, maybe a little bit of get back for Keldrick Falk there a few years ago. But I like this take, man. Again, if you're going to a 3-3-5, you can never have enough quality DBs there. So, you know, this is one that I like as a flip from Auburn. You're muted. You were muted. Yeah. You're good. I got you.
Okay. Sorry about that, guys. Yeah, I mean, here's the thing. Florida State was a 2-10 win team this season. So, you came into the day thinking, okay, these three stars are probably a stay, you know, a couple four stars, what it is, but that's about it. And then to have, literally, I remember exactly where I was when I got this news today, and I was like, wait, what? Florida State did what? Okay. Which goes to show, one, huge kudos to Patrick Surtain. I mean, that dude's recruiting his tail off. And for him to be able to convince somebody to come to this team at this point in time, I mean, that just tells you he's got the recruiting chops. And this kid's going to be a good kid. I mean, everybody wanted him. You know, Auburn had him for a while, and now Patrick Surtain gets him. And you know, you've seen it already with the guys that Patrick Surtain recruits. He's a good developer of those players. And so I think he'll turn out to be a good one for Florida State.
Yeah, man. And so, I like it because, again, you know, you need DBs. You're glad to see Patrick Surtain hanging around.
Right.
And he's just, you know, you just put that one on cruise control, man. He just recruits. Right. That's what he does. And so looking at the next one here, look, this is the first one in your class. This is like the OG commitment. He's been down since day one. And that is Ethan Pritchard. And so I like, you know, that you got him to sign first out of the gate. He's been committed to you for a long time. You know, Michael, the only thing that's kind of up in the air here is we have not heard about Randy being fired yet. And so we haven't heard yet.
Now, listen.
Keyword yet. We'll see. We have not heard about that yet. So, you know, even with a potential position coach change coming, that which I will say that Tony White historically has coached secondary. Obviously, there's only so much room on this team when you have Patrick Surtain as your secondary coach, but he has coached linebackers in the past. So I'm assuming he's going to step into that linebacker role. You know, maybe they keep Randy because remember, he was an analyst at one point, then he moved to linebackers, then he moved to the co-DC spot. So maybe they just move him back off the field as an analyst. Who knows? You know, he just got a good check for a few years, but either way, Ethan Pritchard, I like this man because goodness gracious, we need some linebackers, and we need some good ones. And Ethan Pritchard, I feel like, is going to be a good one. Four-star in the 247 composite, 449th nationally, number 50 or number 49 linebacker, number 63 in the state of Florida. Comes in at 6'2", 205 out of Sanford, Florida. And his junior season, he had 75 tackles, 11 TFLs, 4 PBUs. And so, I mean, just a productive player. Again, linebacker is a position of need. You have not recruited well there in the past. Obviously, Tavion Wallace, you kind of had him on the fence. He ended up signing with Arkansas. You maybe had the flip there. So I think because of that, you're very happy that you got Ethan Pritchard in this class. I mean, he's a thumper, dude, at 6'2", 205.
Listen, man, there are two positions that over the last, I mean, gosh, I want to say since probably 2013, 2014, Florida State has done terrible at recruiting. It's been very obvious and very clear. offensive line and linebacker. I mean, I think third, you probably throw in the D line there too as well, but those two have been glaring holes, offensive line and linebacker. So it's great to finally get a high end 4-star player at the linebacker position to commit to Florida State, to the good guys, and hopefully be developed. Now, again, the question is his current position coach that recruited him still going to be there? Because I think somebody might burn down Doak Campbell Stadium if that's true.
Yeah.
So, you know, we'll see about that. But, I mean, what I will say, if on the just crazy chance that Randy Shannon is retained, we do know that he has developed linebackers before. Yeah. I just don't know what else good to say about that. Like, I'm excited for Pritchard, but man, I'm curious to see what his position coach is going to look like.
Yeah, I think it probably will end up being Tony White, but hey, I mean, look at, you know, the linebackers have gotten better this year. That's all I'm
saying.
That's true.
So I guess Omar Graham, come on now.
Yeah, we'll see how that. If they can Omar Graham Jr. everybody on this linebacking core, then fine, Randy. You can say he's an analyst. Let's not get carried away here. But the next two that we're going to talk about, and we're going to talk about them as a pair because, Michael, these two are one in each other. They are twin brothers, and I like these takes, man. This is pretty cool. You actually originally flipped them from UCF before the Gus news ever even happened,
right?
And that is the Desir twins, Daryl and Mandrell Desir. They're both – I just gave them the same graphic, right, because they basically do everything together. They take all their pictures together anyway, so I just gave them the same graphic. They're both 3-stars. They're both around 6'4". I believe Daryl is 6'4.5". Mandrell is 6'3.5". Both are 240. They both play edge. They're both out of Norland High School in Miami, Florida. So you get a pair here, and you get them together, which is what I like, man, because at the time when they committed, you didn't have a whole lot. And so you got kind of a 2-for-1 pop here. Looking at Daryl, had a great senior season, 72 tackles, career high, 17 tackles for loss, and 9 sacks. Norland obviously was a playoff team in Florida this year. And then you have Mandrell comes in, and he had 66 tackles with 17 tackles for loss and 12 sacks in his senior year as well. Basically, almost the same stat line. Daryl is rated a little bit higher here. They're both 3-stars, but he's rated a little bit higher, 593rd nationally, 46 at the position, and 75th in Florida. Mandrell comes in at 761 national, 58 edge player, and 97 in the state of Florida. So good height, good length, both productive high school players, and you got them as a package, so I like it.
Yeah, and you got them over the likes of UCF, Georgia Tech, Maryland, Colorado, and several others. So this is not just like, you know, some lowly, you know, players. These are players that some big time schools wanted, and they come at the D line position. Again, we've been saying it for a long time that D line position needs to be stocked up. We need more players. We remember we were calling for more, hopefully, in the transfer portal from last year to this year, and you saw it when. You know, obviously, Farmer and Jackson, you know, did what they could this year, but they just needed more bodies, more rotation of that. And I think you bring in two good ones. I'm excited to see what these two can develop as. It'd be cool to hopefully someday see them in the game at the same time,
doing
their thing. Man, that'd be a cool moment. So I'm excited for these guys. I think they'll make a difference here at Florida State.
Yeah, definitely. They have that twin energy is what they say. So I like it. Now the next one we're going to talk about has also been a guy that's been committed for the long haul for you. Mm-hmm. And that is 3-star DB Max Redmond. You know, he's been down since day one, man. He stayed committed in this class. He has been pursued by some other guys. 3-star defensive back, 6'1", 185, plays at Cardinal Newman High School in West Palm, Florida. A productive player. Again, they're in the playoffs right now, have a game coming up this weekend. But so far on the season, 44 tackles, 7 tackles for loss, 2 sacks, and an interception. He is rated as the number 952 nationally, 81st ranked safety, and 122nd in the state of Florida. Also does track and field as well, also plays basketball. So, you know, again, I mean, he is a physical tackler, good open field tackle guy. Can definitely add value on the blitz, you know, having that amount of sacks that he has. He's got good physical tools. You know, he'll need to add a little bit to his frame there 6'1", 180, but I mean, again, you're over 6 foot. And I do like how Florida State has went to size on the back end of this defense here. Typically looking at 6 foot to 6'2" type of guys there. So I think, you know, again, man, Max Redmond is a good take for this class. And anytime Patrick Surtain signs off on a DB, I'm going to go with it.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. If Patrick Surtain is saying this is going after this guy, then I'm going to trust him. He's obviously proven that he sees talent and he can look at it develop. And again, I actually prefer, I've been wondering when we're going to start getting more of these, you know, a little bit taller DBs. I mean, cause you're looking at wide receivers now. I mean, Florida State just got two wide receivers. I think one's 6'5" and one's 6'7". So you're starting to see that a lot more, and especially in a Gus Malzahn offense, you're going to see that a lot more. And so on the other side, as offenses are switching and using these same principles, they're looking to get more taller receivers. You're actually seeing a lot of offenses move away from the 5'11", 5'10", 6 foot receivers, starting to get into those 6'2", 6'3", 6'4s, because it's getting harder and harder to score in the red zone. You need those jump ball capabilities. So you're going to need DBs that can match up well and guard those types, face guard those types of receivers. So I like that we're getting a little bit taller on the back end of the defense.
Yeah, I think they saw a receiver. I think they saw what Johnny Wilson was able to do. Yeah. I think you're looking at what AZ's able to do and things like that by just having that size. And that's what you want. And so, again, another good DB added by Patrick Surtain. So excited to have Max Redmond in his class. Now, another one that was on campus recently, but kind of we thought this had a good chance, but he wasn't really flying too high on the radar. And that is JUCO Tyland Coleman. Comes in JUCO defensive lineman, 3-star, 6'4", 285, Northwest Mississippi Community College. And obviously 6'4", 285, you're either going to be an edge player there or you're going to need to add some mass if you're going to kick down inside. this is one where, maybe you're thinking, I was trying to think of a comparison, but I'm drawing a blank on it right now, of the one that we kept sliding inside before, the one that was a defensive end. I'll figure it out.
Yeah.
But number 11 JUCO prospect nationally, according to 247, he is the number 9 JUCO nationally. So right on the verge of a top 10, number 6 D lineman, number 6 player in Mississippi, 6'4", 285. JUCO transfer defensive lineman. Sometimes, Michael, with the JUCO, it can be a hit or miss, right? You can have guys that come in that you think they're going to be great for you, and they're not, and that's unfortunate. But sometimes it does work out, and so we got a couple of JUCOs in this class, and so hopefully it works out. Malik Benson came the JUCO route. Of course, he went to Alabama first. Wasn't exactly the most productive guy, but as long as you can get him to kind of fill that role of what you need, again, we're loading up the trenches on defensive line because, man, that's where we – outside of offensive line – that's like the number 2 spot where we really kind of need to get some help. And, you're adding it in this class.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. I've always had mixed feelings about the JUCO route kids. And it's not that they've all been bad. It's just Florida State just has not had the greatest luck really turning them into, super productive players here. Again, like you said, Malik Benson went the JUCO route, went to Bama, had a kind of season there, came here, was basically going to be wide out number 1. And then, I don't necessarily put it on him except for the drops. I mean, gosh darn it. But outside of that, like having a terrible offensive line, DJU not being the quarterback that Mike thought he would be, there's a lot of things that went into his season being mediocre this year. But they obviously see something in this guy, especially on the defensive side of the ball. And so let's see how he turns out.
Yeah, and the guy that I was trying to think of was Dennis Briggs. I don't know why I couldn't draw his name there, but he was 6'4", 290. And so you're talking about this very similar body type, very similar size there. And so I think this could be a guy that you could use inside if you needed to, or you could use outside on the edge. Obviously, again, we're probably going to be switching to a 3-3-5. So, we'll see how they get used there. The next guy we're going to talk about here is Sean Porritt. Now, he was – I hope that's how you say it, unless it's Poré. But he was a last-minute flip from South Florida. And so this was one that we really didn't see coming here. 3-star offensive line. I like the size. 6'5", 270, kind of has that long, slender build like a tackle. But obviously 270, like we said, you're going to need some development there. You're going to need to probably add at least 20 pounds to fill out that 6'5" frame. Riverwood High School out of Atlanta, Georgia. Obviously, you know, you're going in and you're getting a guy that is giving you depth, right? And I'm not going to sit here and be like, oh, wow, you know, every player is going to be the next, you know, whatever. Like, I'm not saying that the next first round draft pick. I'm not saying that. But you got a guy with some high upside, right? He's got the measurables that you want. He's got the size that you want. Look, you can't coach 6'5". You can't do that. Number 1,038 nationally, number 70 interior offensive line, number 120 out of Georgia. Also had some offers from NC State and Vanderbilt as well. So it is good to see that he did have a couple of other Power 5 offers. And so, like I said, man, you don't know what you're going to get out of this guy. He could be just depth, or he could end up developing into something. But right now on the offensive line, man, you need as much help as you can get.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, I think you get, well, first you have to look at Gabe. I think, is it Fetetta?
Ferretta.
I think. Let's go with that. Gabe Ferretta, who basically was the offensive line coach, interim offensive line coach, when Alex Atkins was serving that 3-game suspension by the NCAA. Well, Mike gave Gabe great credit of keeping Mario Nash on the fold. And so I wonder if this might be a Gabe guy. If he saw something in him, showed his tape, said, hey, Mike, can we take a look at this guy? Mike's, you know, signed off on it. There must be something in this that Mike and Gabe saw. Now, again, the new offense, or let's just do this. Whoever that new offensive line coach could be, probably maybe have said, hey, this is a guy I really like. Can we go after him? And Mike signed off on it. So I don't think they would take people just to take depth. I mean, I know they need to do that, but that I think there's very much intentionality going into, we got to get players who not necessarily can play now, but has, you know, has some development project pieces that we could be working on while we go get a line that can play now.
Right. Because you're going to need to really focus on the portal on the offensive line.
Right.
But from what we can see, unless you get a really good developmental coach to come in here, you need a lot, right? You need a lot of help, because what you got wasn't great either. And you're going to lose almost all your starters. So you really don't know what you got. Yeah. And someone asked about Gelzey and Petty. We're going to talk about that in just a second after we wrap this class up. Now, the next one we're going to talk about here was a flip. This one has kind of been rumored a little bit here back and forth. We weren't sure, obviously, with West Virginia firing their coach. Mm-hmm. That kind of helps, you know, lubricate that process of happening a little bit. Michael, I think West Virginia should go after Jimbo Fisher. If I'm just saying, I think they should go after Jimbo. That's what I would do if I were them. I don't know who they're going to go after, but we'll see. But the guy that we're talking about here is Tariq Magic Mallory.
Which, let's go.
I like this take, man. I think, one, you're getting a 6'5", 190 receiver. You are getting that length that, again, is not coachable. So it's huge to get that. Now, I know he's only a 3-star, 1,134th nationally, number 163 wide receiver, number 13 player coming out of Connecticut. He did also have offers from West Virginia and Connecticut. Looks like Duke as well. You know, here's the thing, man. I worry a little bit about coming out of Connecticut, because I think maybe, one, that could cause him to be a little bit underrated. Two, I also worry about the level of competition that you're playing up there. But you look at his numbers, 97 passes for 1,385 yards and 16 touchdowns in 3 years at Cheshire Academy. He had, in his senior year, 49 catches, 691 yards, and 8 touchdowns over 8 games. So, man, you know, I look at this player like it's a high upside guy, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you get size, you get proven production at the high school level. I do worry, like I said, a little bit about the Northeast High School in Connecticut. Yeah. I'm not 100% familiar with Connecticut football, to be perfectly honest with you, but I know football, you know, you trust the Southeast.
That's right.
But, man, 6'5", 190 with a proven production history, man, I'll take it. I don't know who the wide receiver coach is going to be. I don't know if this indicates that we have a wide receiver coach, that we got a couple of them committed here. We don't know. We're still waiting on that. But, you know, whoever it is, I like this take.
Listen, I'm going to just tell you right now, in my NCAA – or not NCAA, I shouldn't give them credit. In my college football 25 game, I always only recruit wide receivers that are 6'3" and up. Because there is something – just a magical, about a 6'5 wide receiver, 190 pounds. You know what that means? That boy is not going to be pushed around. He's going to be able to go over the middle. I mean, you're looking at getting basically those Johnny Wilson, Keon Coleman type wide receivers again. And so if this guy can develop, depending on who our wide receiver coach is, man, you're setting yourself up for a great red zone offense, right? You're setting yourself up for great down the field blocking, which is super important in a Mike/Gus Malzahn type offense, where what we saw again, it's like what we said on our previous episode of like, you can't have the, you know, 5'9", 5'10" Ja'Kai Douglas trying to block on the perimeter, 6'2", 6'1", you know, 200-pound DB trying to run a wide receiver screen. They're blowing that up every time. But now if you put a 6'5", 190 wide receiver out there, you got a lot more bulk, you got a lot more size, you got a lot more range of throw. So the catch radius gets bigger, and that's why I like this. I like this recruit.
All right, and so I'm actually going to interject here. Breaking news. Breaking news. As of 6:58 p.m., Florida State gets another commitment. I don't have a slide for him, and that is Tayshaun Gelsley, 6'6". I believe he's 6'5 or 6'6", tight end slash wide receiver. You know, the good part about him is, if nothing else, you flipped him from the Gators.
Oh, and love it.
Yeah, and so that's really one of the good things here is to take it. I mean, you know, you've been kind of shoved in the locker there for a little bit. So it is nice to be able to steal one from the rival Gators. But yeah, man, I mean, you get another four-star here. I know he can be used as a wide receiver, tight end, number 332 nationally, number 17 tight end in the 2024 or 2025 class, number 48 player in the state of Florida. And so I like it, man. It's another more size, exactly what we're talking about. 6'4", 215. So now you have 6'4", 6'5", 6'6", and 6'7" in this class. So breaking news, we interrupt your regularly scheduled broadcasting to bring to you a commitment live on air. So give me some thoughts.
I love it because that's the second player today. I mean, we kept Wynn and we steal Tayshaun Gelsley from the Gators. You know, they were projected. I just saw a tweet earlier where they were projected to get like four or five different players, all these people, and then they got none of them, including Tayshaun. And Florida State keeps one that they were projected to flip and gets another that they were projected to sign. And so maybe the fire isn't as hot for the Gators. Let's go, baby. I think this is a great get. I mean, 6'4", again, what I just say, 6'4", 215 pounds with some size, catch radius is probably going to be really big. You know, I think he played tight end at the high school level and he's going to transition to a wide receiver here. I love this. Be able to block. Gosh. So I'm imagining that whoever this wide receiver coach is must be something.
Yeah. I mean, we're going to have some size at wide receiver and you're getting commits. You're flipping from Florida with no wide receiver coach. I think we might have an idea who it's going to be. Maybe some of these things just are happening behind the scenes here. Yep. So we actually had on the list to talk about him and we didn't even make it. So we got him committed in the class. So I like to see that. I'll have to crank up the graphics machine here in just a little bit. But moving on to the next wide receiver, Michael, let's just stay in the same vein. We're already talking about it. We're already talking about size. And this is one of my favorite commits in the 2025 class. And that is Jordan Scott.
Yeah.
Now, there's a couple of reasons he's been one of my favorites, right? First off, he's one of my favorites because 6'7", 215 pounds. He feels like he's going to be a Johnny Wilson 2.0. I like that. Number three-star wide receiver, number 26 nationally. Now, I've seen different places here where he's number 12 nationally. This is, of course, JUCO rankings, not high school. Number 12 nationally in the 247, number 26 in the composite. But no matter where you look, he's a top five wide receiver. I think in the On3 industry, he's actually number one JUCO wide receiver. In 247, he's number two. Composite, he's number four. So, man, I like that. 6'7" size. He has not a ton of production. 20 passes, 358 yards, and four touchdowns. But it was only in eight games at Southwest Mississippi Community College there. But, again, man, when I look at this guy, you flipped him from Arizona State, so sorry, Kenny. We took one from Kenny. There. But, like, again, man, I mean, I know the commitment wasn't playing for it, but we just talked about the Baker Mayfield effect on the quarterback. This was a 6'7" receiver that you flipped from Arizona State. Guess where Johnny Wilson came from? So, like, man, you can just feel it, maybe. But I also like this guy because of his mentality. Since he's been in the fold with Florida State, it's just constantly been nonstop tweeting and sharing pictures. You know, reset the standard, change the narrative, all this type of stuff, man. So I love the mentality. I love the leadership that he brings to this class, but I also love 6'7", 215.
Listen, 6'7", 215, boy.
That's a big boy.
You're speaking my love language right here. Can I get him in my college football 25 right now? Because I'll be throwing Hail Marys and jump balls to him all day. Like, this is what I'm saying. This is the type of receivers. These are the type of players Florida State used to just get and just dominate in the recruiting. And I love that we're getting back to it. Now, okay, whatever. He's not like one of those five-star guys. I think if we get, which – it may be secretly telling us we're getting a really good wide receiver coach that can develop whoever we're getting, man, if they can develop these big guys to become great, not just great receivers, but great route runners, great blockers on the edge.
Gosh, you could see
this offense just really take off. I'm excited. I love this pick.
Yeah, and I'm glad you brought that up because I meant to say that and I totally blanked on it. But I will say, when I cut up a little highlight video of his that you can see on our YouTube channel under the Shorts tab, like, he put somebody on their back while he was blocking in one of the highlights. And so, you know, that for the good and bad of Johnny Wilson,
right?
He could block. He would put you under the bench. And so I'm hoping with that size, you're getting that here, a big physical blocker on the edge. But then the other thing I like is, man, I know people were concerned about, you know, they hear Johnny Wilson 2.0, well, there's a lot of drop problems. Look, we don't see everything on highlight tapes. I'll be honest with that. But in the highlight tapes that I did cut up, man, the guy was making one-handed grabs, contested catches left and right. I know there's a lot of jump balls there, which isn't always going to translate over to the Power Five when you're just probably the best player at community college level, at the JUCO level. But when you're 6'7" and you can climb a ladder and you got good hands, I mean, we're going to throw some jump balls.
We're going to throw some jump balls.
We're going to throw some of them things. So I do like, man, I love this take, and I love his attitude. I think he's going to come in and be a physical guy and be a worker. And, you know, you got some absolute massive size in this.
Come on now. You know,
combined with some of the guys you got too. Now, keep in mind, side note here, you know, you could also potentially come back with Camden Fryer at one of your slot positions next year. You could get Jalen Lucas back in the slot next year. You could get Destin Hill back in the slot next year. I mean, you look at all those guys, you got the quick, shifty speed. Now you're getting these big guys on the outside. You are already seeing some of the guys that got to play this year that can go right along with them. So now let's talk about, Michael, one of the most important positions on the field that everyone gets a little upset about when you talk about their commitment. But it actually ended up being our best player this year, and that is a specialist that Florida State gets. Y'all know I've been struggling with this name, but we're going to try it anyway. Bruno Reus. I hope I said it right, my man. No offense if I didn't. Look, he comes in as a 3-star, but you can pretty much throw that ranking out of the window because 247 and all the major ranking services, they don't really rate kickers or specialists that high. But according to the Coles kicking camps, now, that's not to be confused with where you get your coats, your coal, you know, or where Keon gets his coat. The Coles kicking camp, he is a 5-star rated kicker. He's actually the number, I believe, I might get these backwards, but they're pretty close. So the number 3 rated kicker and the number 2 rated punter. That's right. 3 kicker, 2 punter. It's rare that you see someone that is that highly ranked in both sides where they can do both. So he was in the Armed Forces Bowl, the Under Armour All-American game. So this is a really, I mean, again, we don't even have to talk about how important specialists are to this team when you look at what Ryan Fitzgerald and Alex Mastromano just did for this team this year. So I think, man, you got to replace them at some point when they're moving on. And so I think this is about as good as you can get, replace them. Now, you still do have the other kicker. I can't think of his name right now, but you still do have him. He just kicked one in the Florida game. You still do have him on the team as well, but you know, this is going to be someone that going forward will at least provide you some depth there. And will actually, you know, he can do both for you. He can be a kicker and a punter. So, man, I like this take.
Yeah. I mean, listen, you are, you got to get a new guy. You got to bring somebody in the challenge. Mike Norvell talked about this guy with the roster limit going to 105.
Tyler Keltner, sorry. We're both looking it up.
We're both looking it up. Yeah, Tyler. Yeah. So, I mean, you got Tyler there and then bringing this guy in as well, who's one of the best kickers, high school kickers in the country, you know, just to create some competition, because the worst thing you want to have is only one guy on the roster and now you're trying to figure it out. I mean, we also have to replace a punter too. You know, and probably hopefully a Ray Guy award winner, because he should be. So bringing as many as you can now that the roster limit goes to 105 on that, I think is a wise decision by Mike Norvell and whoever the special teams coach is going to be next season.
Yeah. And so the next two that we're going to talk about might be the ones that we're almost most excited about. But we had to save them for last because as of right now, they have not officially been announced by the school.
Correct.
And they are currently only listed as hard commits on 247. So they have not been updated. And I will say 247 has been pretty good about updating their commit list throughout the day. They had a couple reported before Florida State even announced it. So it does make you a little bit nervous when we talk about these, right? Yep. That they have not signed on the dotted line. We don't know why that is yet, but hopefully Florida State will be able to close the deal and get them in the class, because this was like almost two cherries on top of this whole day of recruiting on early signing day because of you losing Solomon Thomas. And the first one that we're going to talk about here was the kind of crown jewel of this class. And that is, y'all, if we get him, and I'm just say this, the harder it is to pronounce your players' names, the better you're going to be, I feel like. So I'm going to take a crack at this one, Michael. Ousmane Chroma. I like it. We got a Chroma and a Chroman Hawk. So I like both of these now. But he comes in as a four-star running back. This is a top 100 recruit nationally, number 73, consensus four-star, number four running back in the 2025 class, number 10 player in the state of Georgia. Comes in with a higher ranking than the running back you just lost to Florida. So, you know, don't sleep on Mike Norvell. Now, I will say this is, you flipped him from Georgia. So that was a massive win on the recruiting trail for Mike Norvell, for this program, if they can hang on to him. The thing is, like, for Chroma, FSU was his very first offer. Like way, way back in the day, before any other school offered him. Mike Norvell has commented that he has communicated with Chroma more than any recruit probably in his entire career.
Yeah.
And so that longevity of the relationship paid off this time around. And this kid is a monster, very productive. He has good contact balance, good power. He's also a great receiving back. And I think the biggest thing right now, man, is you just worry that you're going to be able to keep him in the class. But he's effective at pass pro. He can create separation. He's got, like I said, good contact balance. He's also can catch out of the backfield, 53 catches, 730 yards. I mean, this guy he's just built, right? He's 6 foot, 205. This is a guy that can contribute right away if you can get him in the class. I really, really like this running back take. Obviously, you're going to be losing some guys this year, so you needed to add to the class because you didn't have a running back in this class. Man, this is about as good as you could have got. So now you just got to hang on to him.
Yeah, listen, man. This was a shocker of the day. I mean, everybody had him pin in to Georgia, and so for Florida State to be able to pull off this flip was a huge thing. Now, again, it's only flip in the sense that we've seen a video of him literally saying he decommitted from Georgia and he's committed to Florida State. We saw him sign. I don't know if you saw this, Jesse, but he signed something. If you zoom into the picture, it's just a blank piece of paper. And so, well, it's a blank piece of paper, but I wouldn't be concerned about the paper, because a lot of recruits do that. They don't actually sign anything. They sign the paper, you know, at the time in front of everybody, and then they go off privately and sign the actual grant of aid now, because there's no NLI anymore. So right now there's all this drama around this, and to see whether or not his paperwork. Florida State has basically said to all the outlets that they're just waiting on the paperwork. So we'll see. You know, I've seen speculation that Georgia has come back with a bigger NIL package. I've seen speculation that Florida State is trying to figure that out and match it as well too. I've seen speculation that, you know, if he had flip to Florida or Tennessee that Kirby Smart wouldn't have cared. But because it's Florida State and Mike Norvell, he deeply does not want him to go there. I'm not sure why that might be the case. Whatever the case may be, this probably is going to play out either late into the night or maybe into the next couple of days.
Yeah, and I think when you look at Gus Malzahn's offense coming in as your new OC, I mean, we may not know who the running backs coach is yet. If you get him and he stays, then I think Yak is probably going to stay on as your running back coach. Because, again, I mean, you're talking about flips a four-star from Georgia, gets Cam Davis, you know, fights everybody off for him, you know, and all the other – he's got a couple other four-stars with Sam Singleton and all these guys. So he's recruited well at the position. Yeah. Your offensive line just sucked. But if you can keep him, man, this is going to be a massive get for this class, because just listen to some of these numbers. I found the stats that I was trying to pull up. So 1,290 rushing yards in this past season, a senior year, 8.5 yards per carry, 15 touchdowns, 31 receptions, 693 yards, and 8 receiving touchdowns.
Man,
that sounds really good. That's actually his worst season. So as a junior, 1,783 yards, 9.8 yards a carry, 20 rushing touchdowns, 31 receptions for 522 yards and 9 receiving touchdowns. And then even as a sophomore, Michael, 1,500 rushing yards, 8.3 yards a carry, 20 rushing touchdowns, 18 receptions, 193 yards, and 2 receiving touchdowns. So this kid is a stud. And so if you can get him in there, knowing that Mike Norvell has had good running backs in the past, knowing that Gus Malzahn has had good running backs in the past, knowing that Trey Benson is in the league right now and all this type of stuff, man, I mean, this would be really – really massive.
Yeah.
If you could keep in this class.
And here's the thing. Like if I'm, you know, Osman, is that how you say his name?
Uzme. I don't really know.
Uzme. If I'm okay, that's what I'm calling him. Okay. If I'm okay, I'm looking at what Florida State has done, you know, with Trey Benson, what Florida State has done with Lawrence Toofili. I mean, the backs, you got to take this year and just kind of set it off to the side. I had a terrible offensive line. You heard Mike Norvell say that this problem is going to get fixed and fixed immediately. So if you trust in that, and if you trust in Mike Norvell, then you've seen what this offense can do and how it can develop running backs to set them up for an NFL prospect. You know, if you go to Georgia, you're going to be sitting behind a long line of five stars, or would you like to fight for the opportunity to get on the field pretty early in your freshman year? I mean, look at that dude. He could definitely looks like Cam Davis, you know. And the other side of it too, that I think is really big, is that Cam Davis literally got on Twitter and tweeted like, you could go anywhere. I told you I love you, but man, that we're going to be able to do this together in Tally. So I think that connection hopefully holds strong and we get his paperwork in. But again, this is Florida State. And over the last 5 years, we've learned to expect the unexpected of the expected. So
it's hard not to be nervous on anything recruiting when it comes to us. But yeah, I mean, I agree. You can be the feature back in this class, because you're the only back in this class, but you can still be the feature back in the class, you know. And so Georgia's probably got a few other committed. I know Florida had a few other committed when the kid flipped there, so it didn't make a whole lot of sense. But let's get to the last one in the class here. And this is a flip from UCF. Look, Gus is already bringing some people over, but Gus, I'm going to need you to get that paperwork signed, my friend, because he still is also in the same position here. As Chroma, he is listed as a hard commit, but he is not listed as a signee quite yet. Now, this kid is impressive. This was a good get. I saw what makes me nervous about Boggs, about Javon Boggs, four-star wide receiver out of Cocoa, Florida, is he was previously committed to Ohio State. Then he flipped from Ohio State to Missouri. Then he flipped from Missouri to UCF. And now he flipped from UCF to Florida State.
Yeah.
That makes me nervous, Michael, because that's a lot of flipping. Them pancakes are done, buddy. You need to take them off the griddle. But he's got – I mean, anytime you were a take for Ohio State, you were a take for Missouri, you're obviously a talented receiver. 6'1", 200, got good size at the position. So I like that as well. A top 300 recruit in the consensus on the composite, number 221 nationally, number 27 wide receiver in the class, number 31 player in the state of Florida. He's a kind of a thicker wide receiver. He had just under 1,500 yards and 23 touchdowns in his junior season. Again, played in a tough division of high school football there. So, you know, he's got a lot of physical tools. He's sure-handed, and I really like – he's got an expanded route tree. I like all the things about him. The only thing I don't like is the letter hasn't been signed yet. So if you can get him in there, thank you, Gus, for bringing him over. This is a good get, another big body four-star wide receiver. Right. So, yeah, man, just got to get him signed. And we don't know, you know what I mean, who may be making a late push or what the deal is. Could be something trivial. Mike Norvell did say he expected some more letters to come across his desk, but you just want to see him be locked up.
Right, exactly. Yeah, you just want to see him be locked up. And, again, this is another one that, man, if we can get this signed, great. It's awesome. I wasn't expecting it. And big body, of course, you know me. I love those big bodies at the wide receiver position. You know, we just got to wait and see again. It's really hard to comment much more on anything until we actually know this guy's in the fold.
Yeah. Now, I do want to say I really hope he does get in the fold, because I forgot to mention he was the Florida Mr. Football as a junior. Mm. So, man, that would, again, this is a very talented guy, so you want to get him in the class. So that is right now Tribe 25 as of day one. Like we said, you got 2 days left there. Just to touch on some comments from Mike Norvell in his presser today, which he actually came on before Solomon Thomas even committed. So you kind of maybe thought that he kind of knew what was going to happen there. But he said that he likes the length that you added to the program with the tall wide receivers. You know, you got 6'4", 6'5", 6'7", and 6'6" there. You also got some length at DB. He did also mention that there was going to be less guesswork, that these are more proven guys who have produced at a very high level at the high school, in the high school ranks. So I like that as well, too. You know, again, you look back to some of the guys like a Luke Romanoff was a guy that didn't play a lot of football before he got here. And so getting some guys that are less guesswork, I think that's going to be good, because then they can get on the field faster for you. That's what you hope anyway. Yeah. Some other news to touch on here, as mentioned in the comments, obviously you got Tayshaun Gelsey, who did not sign with Florida today, so we can take that one off the list. But Josh Petty, interior offensive lineman, was actually a big loss for you. I mean, you had him basically here. I think his sister or his girlfriend goes to Florida State. You had all the stars were aligned for you, and then he signs with he flips to Georgia Tech. And so that was one where he was rumored to be getting paid quite a bit of money. That was kind of a bag thing there. But you also have an offensive line as your former offensive lineman, as your head coach with Georgia Tech. So the flip, you were thought that may be over and done with, but you never know, man. Now they got Peyton Joseph from you.
Yep.
So that may have, you know, you never know. I know it takes five of them to play offensive line, but he may not be happy about that. You never know. Right. So there may be a door opening back up to get Josh Petty. I can't say for sure, but the fact that he didn't sign,
that's right,
and you were number two, that leads you to believe that, yeah, man, this, you could be in it for him.
Yeah. Listen, again, he didn't sign. That's a big thing in the recruiting world. When most of these guys are going to sign today or the next day, but when somebody has been projected forever and then on the day, I mean, gosh, we are the poster child of having players be like, actually, never mind. And so when somebody does that, it really does open your eyes. Now, again, we don't know where Florida State lives in this. We don't even have an officially titled offensive line coach. But if I were to imagine, let me just throw this little, and this is not scoop or scuttlebutt, this is just my feelings, that that Florida State does have an unofficial offensive line coach, and maybe he is doing a little recruiting.
Yeah, you hope so. You hope so. And then one other name that I did want to mention is that, because obviously it's portal season heating up as well, Nebraska defensive end James Williams has received 2 crystal balls to Florida State so far. Obviously, you know, Nebraska had basically their entire defensive line and a few linebackers enter the portal. Basically, we can get you all to come down. Chase, pick them up on your way to Tallahassee. Let's bring them on down here. But 6'6", 250, played 188 snaps last year at Nebraska, had a 74.2 PFF grade. That would be a great pickup if you could get him as well. I really hope you can land some of those linebackers as well that coming from Nebraska. So, again, 2 more days ahead, Michael, of signing day of this first signing period through the 5th and the 6th. So Matthew chimes in here, says first time watching and thinks that we did a good job. So we really appreciate that, Matthew. You know, we're still relatively new, man. We're trying to grow our name. So we appreciate you guys tuning in and watching with us with our live reaction to the signing day, day one wrapping up. Overall, again, just to kind of get back to this, Michael, overall a good feeling, right? You hate you lose Solomon. You knew you were probably going to lose him. But if you can keep the 2 that are hard commits and not signed yet.
Yep.
And maybe add a couple more. Man, I think you're feeling pretty good about your class right now.
Absolutely.
Just to give a quick update, after the Kelce commitment, you are sitting at 25th. So,
yeah,
again, to go from 53rd, 54th, all the way up
much
to 25th.
Better than you thought.
Usually we go from 25th to 50th. So
exactly.
Like this is better. And you never know. I mean, obviously you got guys pushing back signings and all this type of stuff. So you never know where you might end up. But, man, you got to be pretty happy about this first day of the early signing period.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Also, breaking news, Boggs paperwork has come in. Florida State just announced him. So, bam, son.
Excellent.
Let's go. I love that. Top 15 wide receiver nationally, brings explosive playmaking skills to Tribe 25. I love it. So let's get the running back in, and I'll feel much better about tonight.
Yeah, man. I think overall you're pretty happy. Last thing I want to say before I got out of here is Ingram Smith from the Battle's End did post a tweet earlier and said, look, it wasn't the season that anybody wanted or expected, but if you kept your Battles End membership through it all, please know that you have played and will continue to play a massive role in getting FSU back to where we all wanted to be. Great day to be a Seminole. Joined today. Lots of work left to be done. And so, I mean, obviously the Battles End has been quiet because they've probably caught a lot of fire from the way the season has went. But you know what, man? At the end of the day, like, they're out here working. And so, you know what I mean? You really have to get in and get in with these recruits, and you got to be competitive. You know what I mean? That's something that we talked about before, was last year where they kind of were second place on a lot of these portal guys. And so you're going to really have to see them spend some money and throw some weight around this year. So nice to see Ingram put that message out there as well. Charles comes in with a comment here, says, great comment. Love it all, you guys. Go Noles.
Thanks,
we appreciate
Charles.
That. Charles, obviously, you know, it's been a long season.
Yeah.
It's not the season that we wanted, but we're excited to be talking about some new stuff as well going in this offseason. Brian says, so the FSU community is going to lie all offseason. Yeah, that's right. We back, baby. Get ready for it. So.
I'm not lying, but some others may lie.
Oh, man, I'm just kidding. But no, it's funny, but to joke about. But I do feel like there's some positive momentum, right? You got a good class so far. You got a lot of pieces that are in the portal. You like the hires that you made.
Yep.
Potroast seems to be official now as your defensive line coach. I feel like now that you've got some of the signing stuff out of the way, you're going to see these hires start to get named, you know, really in the next couple of weeks or next couple of days. I think you'll start to see these names really start to pop out here. Yeah. But yeah, man, that's pretty much it for tonight. We appreciate you guys watching. Just kind of finally some good vibes for Florida State fans, man. I like it. Some good coaching news, some good recruiting news today. But if you've watched this long on YouTube, drop a like and subscribe. We appreciate you watching. If you're going to listen to this in the audio form on podcast, which will be available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, all the places you listen to podcasts, drop a rate and review there, because we would appreciate that as well. Tell a friend, tell a neighbor, as we're trying to grow this channel. So thank you so much, guys. Also, make sure you check out plantthespear.com. I have a live tribe tracker over there where you can kind of keep up with all the ins and outs of signing day. I'm going to be a little bit behind. I got to go make some graphics because we got a couple commits since I've been on here. But yeah, guys, thanks for watching. And, you know, we believe in Mike Norvell too. So hopefully he'll get this thing turned around. You know, he is not taking this thing laying down. That's for sure. So Michael, as always, thank you for joining me, my friend. And we'll catch you guys on the next one. As always, go Noles.
Go Noles.